Welcome to In the Name of Game.
Welcome to In the Name of Game, a video game podcast. Today is January 16th, 2014.
And welcome to our first episode of the year, 2014. Well, it's still the first episode, so.
Yeah, back off, Colin.
Shut up.
I'm your host, AG.
I'm your co-host, Colin.
And I'm co-host, Knox.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, happy really, really late new year.
Yep, 16 days in.
That's cool.
That's still a record for us, I think.
It's fashionably late, come on.
two weeks. Go.
Yeah. So what we're going to do to ring in the late new year is we're going to talk about our favorites of last year games and our upcoming hopes for this year. I think there's kind of a lot to regret about the previous year, but there were a lot of really good things that happened. I mean, we saw this resurgence of indie games. A lot of the names on my list are actually like indie games or games from like non-huge developers. So I think that's it's a good sign. I'm not sure what this year holds, but I'm hoping it'll be more of the same.
Because it looks like it.
Getting some good variety, I think. So
sure.
And that Steam sale, Jesus! I think maybe this past Christmas Steam sale was. It feels like it was the most profitable for most people because like I
thought it was kind of boring in terms of the game choices this year.
Well, yeah, but like in terms of profits though, I kept seeing articles about like especially indie devs saying like, "Wow, we've made more money at this Steam sale than we did like the whole previous part of the year," you know. So there's something about either the amount that the sales were going for or something because people were buying stuff like hotcakes. I know.
They just wanted the snow globes.
Yeah, well, they wanted all those. They wanted the trading cards or whatever.
That could be.
Cards.
Clever is what it is. I actually got level 3 of that fucking snow globe badge.
But then I got one.
I stopped, though, because it's like, what do you get after that? Like, I wanted to get... what would happen is each time you crafted a badge... first of all, if you hadn't done any of the Steam sale... the way they did it was every time you purchased $10 worth of anything, they gave you a little snow globe digital trading card. And once you had, what was it, like 10 of them? Mm-hmm. You could craft them into a badge for your Steam profile. And once you craft the badge, you also get a couple randomized items. Like you would get a Steam profile background and something else. And then one of several possible random items from like 5 to 7 games. And I kept crafting the badge because I wanted to get one. There were a couple cool items in TF2 and then some other game, Dota 2, I think. And I kept getting items for games I didn't even fucking have. So at a certain point, I was like, I think one of them was, what's it called, Warframe or whatever? And I was like,
War Thunder or something.
Yeah,
like
I don't have this fucking game. So I stopped it after a while.
I got some dumbass snowflake. What am I going to do with that?
It was a little disappointing for that. But the deals I thought were pretty good. If you caught the really good deals, there were so many things that were like around $5 to $7 that were, you know, big games.
So that
was pretty surprising. I also picked up the remake of the DuckTales game that they did just this past year. It's pretty fun. I mean, it's one of those nostalgia things again. Like, did you guys ever play DuckTales on the NES?
I
have a vague memory of playing that game.
I sort of remember that game.
It's the one where everyone always says the moon had the best music. Like, they just went crazy over that. So somebody picked up on that and figured, like, hey, you know, there's still enough nostalgia power behind this game that we could just turn it around into a new version of the game and sell it. And it's worked out pretty well for them so far. It's a Capcom, I think. Well, Capcom originally did the NES games. I can't remember... Yeah, actually, it might be a different company doing it now. But whatever. So they took the same concept, the same gameplay where you have Scrooge McDuck springing around on his pogo stick, and took the same levels but gave everything like a massive graphical update, and they got all the actors from the game, I mean from the original show, including the guy, I forget his name, that does the voice of Scrooge McDuck, who's still alive magically. He must be like 90-something years old.
Jigga Disney.
Yeah. I saw him one time in a movie. If you guys you guys remember Beverly Hills Cop 3?
Oh, God, I actually do remember Beverly Hills.
He is, what's his name, Wally or whatever? Like the old guy that owns the Wally World, the amusement park?
Uncle Bob or something.
I think, isn't it Uncle Wally?
I thought it was like Uncle Bob or something. It has nothing to do with Wally. That's why I was always confused.
All right. So that old happy guy that they're helping out is Scrooge McDuck's voice actor. Because natively, he doesn't do that Scottish accent. He does it for the character, which is, you know, it works pretty well. But I'd never seen what he looked like before. So it's kind of funny seeing him in it, like an actual movie setting. Anyway, so that game was pretty fun. I also got Don't Starve, which probably a lot of other people have already played before me. I'm a little late to the game for that. And a couple other little games. I got the Stanley Parable, but I haven't tried it yet. I can't remember if we talked about it. I think we did, like, a long time ago.
Did we?
I think we did.
But we were talking about the mod way back when.
Oh, that's I remember that. Yeah.
So for anyone that doesn't know, Stanley Parable started as a Half-Life 2 mod, and it kind of it's first person technically, but it's kind of more of like a commentary on first person games.
It's like kind of a deconstruction. It seemed like.
Yeah, because it takes all your expectations on what you do in a first person game, like an adventure first person game. And kind of twists it around. You know, like the whole thing where you feel like you're being funneled into two different doors, and then you're like, fuck it, I'm going to take the other door. And then you think you have a choice, but you really don't. Like, it's a lot of interesting commentary on really how games are designed lately. And it's funny, too, which helps a lot. It's a lot of the funny stuff comes from the narrator, who has written extremely well. So I'd played the mod a while back, and I think we talked about it on a different episode. And it had picked up so much steam that they...
That steam.
I heard it as I said it. But it got so popular that the creator went ahead and made like a full-fledged game out of it. And I think the game normally is like $14 or something. But during the Steam sale, it dropped to like $4 or $5. So at that point, I was like, well, I really liked his concept and I want to support that. So I, you know, might as well just get the game. And it's been really well reviewed by pretty much everybody so far. So I think it's well worth people's times. You know, it's like, it's something fresh and different. And I think that's so rare lately with everybody trying to ape everybody else that it stands out for me. Which is kind of why Don't Starve stood out for me, too. I mean, you guys play Don't Starve?
No.
Sort of.
So the concept is, if you ever played actually Minecraft, the main concept isn't so far off. Because it's like you're dropped into a world, you're given absolutely no information about what to do, no tutorials, no bullshit or anything like that. It's like completely blank. You just have to wander around, and then you figure out through trial and error how to harvest materials and animals and whatever and make things that help you survive. And it's called Don't Starve because obviously you know you have to eat and you have to live and things and whatever.
Oh yeah.
So the object of this game is you must live.
Yeah, I remember. I almost bought that.
Don't die. Maybe it should be called like.
I came very close to buying that turn sale. Actually, really, I remember now.
Yeah, it's really an interesting sort of take on a survival game because it's kind of quirky because the art style looks a lot like a Tim Burton. Like sketchbook, so everybody looks a little unusual and their proportions are strange, and it's surprisingly like dark but kind of cute at the same time, if that makes any sense. So really the only thing it has in common with Minecraft is the survival element. But if you've played Minecraft, you're probably in the right mindset for Don't Starve. There's supposedly some kind of story, but I keep fucking dying before I can find what the story is. So I guess I'm just really lame at doing that. But I think it's pretty worth it. Like, even if you just looked at a YouTube video of it, it's kind of an adorable, creepy survival game, I think. And it's very easy to pick up, too. Like, once you get the main concept, like, okay, now I picked enough twigs and rocks and stuff so I can make, like, an axe, and now I have to chop down a tree. You know, like, it has the progression that you would expect. Like, you start with really simple materials, and then you work up to bizarre things where you actually can make, like, an alchemy machine or a science device. Like, it starts, it goes in kind of a weird direction.
With science stuff. Device.
Yeah, and...
We have to do science.
Well, really, it's just a way of... once you make the science machine, it opens up more ways to make more advanced items.
Extreme science machine.
It might even go that far. I'm not really sure.
Hey, Oingo Boingo's weird science in the background.
Yeah.
Weird science.
It does get, like, legitimately creepy if your sanity goes all the way down. So, like, you have a sanity meter in this game, which is very unlike Minecraft. So, every evening, you not only have to survive whatever kind of, like, monsters might be in the area, but more importantly, you have to stay in an area that remains lit. So, like, if you're in the dark, you just fucking die completely. Like, it's kind of like a Gru from Zork, you know, like, if you're in the dark, forget it. So what's interesting, though, is, like, if you're in a darkened area, your sanity drops, or if you pick creepy things, like, I made the mistake of digging up graves at a cemetery, because I was like, oh, there's little mounds, and I can use my shovel there. For some reason, digging up graves makes your sanity, like, super drop, I mean, because it, like, creeps you out. I don't know, whatever.
Good job, Iggy.
But what's cool about the sanity meter is the more your sanity goes down, the more things around you start, like, shifting and adjusting. And my sanity got so low at a certain point that there's these little rabbits that hop around normally that you can catch and either eat them or you do whatever with them. And my sanity dropped so much that they got warped into these little, like, demon balls. They were all, like, black and they had creepy, like, eyes and stuff. And when I killed them, I got some kind of, like, tainted, like, evil meat or something. Like, it wasn't just called meat, it was called, like, I can't remember what it is, like, dark meat or something like that. And I was like, wait, if I eat it, like, will it hurt me? Because usually if you eat that kind of tainted meat off of something that's regularly evil, like, it hurts your health. So I thought, like, fuck, this makes things a lot more difficult. And at nighttime, you start seeing fucking apparitions and things. And I've been told, apparently, if your sanity totally hits, like, rock bottom, those apparitions become opaque and, like, real. And then they'll just fucking kill you. But it's very effective at being creepy, like, in that very Tim Burton-esque kind of way. So I recommend, you know, if you get time to waste and you want something that's kind of quick, Donut Starve is pretty good. It'll save your progress until you die. And then if you die, it starts you all over again. So it's kind of like a hardcore mode in a way.
Yeah.
So, like, because, you know, otherwise it would make it too easy, right? You just keep reloading your save and going forward. So it's good in that it makes you think more critically about, like, what you're doing, because you don't want to make any stupid mistakes, which I did from time to time. I kind of picked a fight with a whole horde of spiders at one point, which wasn't very smart. Yeah, right. But anyway, so those games were pretty nice, and I played them towards the end of the year. We talked about BioShock, the DLC for Infinite, and how that was a little short and disappointing in terms of, like, I guess they hyped it up too much.
Yeah.
So we were both definitely expecting too much, I think.
The way they were talking about it seemed like they were going to give us a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the second one will be better.
Yeah, so if there was a downer for the previous year, it might be that one, just because I had some pretty high hopes. Also, The Last of Us. I know you didn't get a chance to play it because you don't have a PS3, but that was a very strong game, which I still think about every now and then. Like, you know it's good if it finds its way into your consciousness, like when you're thinking about completely separate things. So yeah, that was my hits and misses for 2013.
I don't know. There's a lot of misses this year, to be honest, in my opinion.
Mm. I can think of one right off the top of my head.
What's that?
Rome 2.
Oh.
God.
I was going to say, I didn't want to bring it up because I knew Knox would be like, oh.
What an incomplete piece of shit that game was.
How do you fuck it up that bad? How do you fuck up a franchise that badly?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly didn't play Shogun, so I don't know what that game was like. Shogun
was pretty ace, actually.
Oh, so was it?
It's real strategy, right?
Yeah, well, it's both. It's turn-based, and then there's sections where like you can command armies and shit.
Yeah, the actual campaign map itself is turn-based, but battles are real-time.
Hmm. Yeah.
So no, I've always liked that aspect of it.
Shogun was always high quality. I like the first one a lot better just because I don't know if it's that my nostalgia goggles are on too tight. But, I mean, Shogun 2 was cool, but it seemed a lot more difficult.
I just feel like I didn't play it. I don't know. I think after, what was it, Napoleon or whatever, I just, like, that game was pretty bland and uninteresting to me, and I just kind of lost track of the series. So...
Hmm.
Shogun looked cool because I was a big fan, of course, of the original Shogun Total War, and of course I'm going to rewatch this, but I was a huge fan of Rome Total War. Like, that game blew my mind.
Was that the one you were always playing in Colombia?
Yeah.
Was that Rome? Yeah, it was Rome.
Yeah.
Speaking of Roman stuff, I'm trying to segue. No, I didn't get a chance to play it, but that reminded me that people were really disappointed with that Rise game.
That game looks so shit. Even when I saw it, was that at EA they showed that trailer?
E3?
It was at E3 they showed it was during that shitty the Xbox One reveal, remember?
Yeah.
Fuck, man. But like I saw that and I'm like, it just looked like it was like a third person adventure game like on rails. It just looked boring as fuck, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the problem with every game nowadays is like even the trailers make it look like everything's on rails. And I know they have to like show off certain things, like that's the purpose of the shows at E3, but it's like, you know, they look so boring, you know. And I started playing GTA too, and I remember a lot of missions in GTA 5, at least in the main story, are like really on rails as well. Like that whole sequence that they showed, I don't remember where they showed it, but they showed the sequence where like Michael is like rappelling down a building and breaks in, and then Franklin blasts that guy with a sniper rifle and all that shit. It was like, they didn't change it from the trailer they had at whatever show that was. Like, it was exactly the same.
But I think...
like, there's no surprises at all.
No, there's no surprises with that, but I think at least in terms of GTA, the story and the characters are good enough that you kind of say, all right, whatever, for that.
Well, I'll talk about GTA, because I haven't, you know... I'll explain my reasoning, but I'll talk about GTA in a little bit.
Right. But with Rise, though, I think the problem, at least from what I was reading in reviews, is that even the story was just kind of like, you don't really have any likable characters, or they're just not written very well, and you end up with a game that just feels really... I guess if you didn't have anything else to play, then you'd be like, oh, I guess I'll play it. But definitely not a strong, you know, first entry into the next-gen era. So, but I guess they had to release it because I think it had been in development for like a really long time, right?
Yeah, it had.
So they.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah. Well, okay. No. That's not totally fair because
Duke Nukem.
Okay. Well, but I was.
Yeah.
I always think of TF2 and those kind of games where it's like they spent many years, but that's
Doom
because
3.
They were trying to develop it.
Well.
Doom 3.
Wait. But people like Doom 3 though.
It's so dark.
It was dark.
So like a solid black, you know, like I have like a solid black 1,000 by 1,000 JPEG file, and that's the game.
I honestly never had that much of a problem with the darkness, and that's just me talking. I mean,
Sim City.
Yeah, sorry. I'll go down a Doom tangent. Go ahead. I'll go down a Doom tangent, and we don't want to go there again.
Sim City. Ooh.
Oh,
we don't want to go again.
Yeah.
Yeah, before the show, we were talking about EA. What will EA win the Golden Poo? Or
yeah,
what
so, the win? So for the past apparently 2 years, they won the Golden Poo from the Consumerist.
Well, one was from Mass Effect 3, and the other one was
just
I don't remember.
Like, I think it's just them in general.
Just them being a bunch of assholes in 2012.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I don't know if they would necessarily get it 3 years in a row, because I start thinking like, hey, you know, there's some actual legitimately bad companies that probably should be getting this over, you know, a fucking game company. But they really haven't done anybody any favors with their actions this past year, especially with Battlefield 4, how reading if you had certain consoles with Battlefield 4, it was practically unplayable.
I heard they're getting sued for that.
Really?
There was a group of consumers that were getting together and trying to sue EA and DICE for
I mean, that might be the way that they try to get them to fucking wake up and take, you know...
They aren't going to fucking wake up, because you know what? They still have the fucking money in their pockets. And I've talked about this before, and a good example of this is my good friend Kodak, who lives in Seattle now.
Mm-hmm.
He texted me, and he goes, yeah, I've been playing Battlefield 4. And I remember distinctly, like, a year or two ago when Battlefield 3 came out, he thought it was disappointing.
Mm.
But he ended up buying Battlefield 4 anyway. I'm like, Kodak, you were complaining about Battlefield 3.
Yeah,
so I said, and you still bought it. And I go, how's Battlefield 4? And he just goes, eh.
Well, that's the thing, though. It might not immediately happen, but I notice with a lot of gamers, that will eventually trail off. Like, if you screw up enough times, there will be a point where people are like, I think I'll pass this time. Or they'll wait much later until, you know, it's heavily discounted, and then pick it up, like, on a whim or something like that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these companies are very mistaken, because they always assume, since their past ones sold okay, that they could just, like, poop out something and it would...
Square! Sorry, did I say something?
Square Enix.
Yeah, they're kind of a mystery to me, because it's like,
what the fuck's going on with them?
I don't,
like, are they in a death spiral, or
aren't they behind the new Thief?
No, well, okay, they
is
are
that
the,
them?
They're the publisher, I believe.
Oh,
not
right,
the actual publisher. Developer though.
Because that's okay.
No, but they're very weird, because it's like, I have been playing the revamped, the like 2.0, I guess, Final Fantasy 14, like, because the first version fucked up so terribly that they had to just junk it. Yeah. And it's not bad, but it also looks like they didn't really learn their lesson, because a lot of the things that they're putting in the game are kind of, it's like an amalgamation of stuff that other people have already done. So I'm not sure, like, if they're just... natural, like they're just really lost and they don't understand what they should be doing to be innovative, or if they just choose to keep going down this route of not doing anything fresh or new. Like, if you look at the upcoming Final Fantasy, what is it, 15?
15.
Yeah, 15. That looks a lot like their fucking previous stuff, and that one has been in development for a really long time.
It's just because... You know, it's just, it's samey, you know, and, you know, I used to get shit for talking about how Final Fantasy X looked like shit. You know, it looked pretty much the same it does look like shit. I didn't think it was that good, and 8 was okay. 11, which one was the one that caught a lot of hell? Was that 13? But I mean, they all visually look the same.
But 10 for me feels different, because all the ones prior still looked pretty pixely and blocky and that sort of thing. And 10, you have to admit, if we're only looking 10, at Final Fantasy games, 10 kind of raised the bar, because it actually had in-game cutscenes that looked pretty good. I mean, for the time, right?
Yeah.
And so
it was a significant step forward.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Technologically, they did push things. But you notice the increments of how much they pushed after that point were kind of fewer and fewer. Like, okay, 12 looked not too bad, but it also didn't really... Like, 12, for most people, maybe that's generalizing too much, but for a lot of people I knew, was kind of like a meh. Like, it was good, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't something that you're like, oh my god, dude, did you just play 12?
I remember nothing about that one.
You know, I bought that when I still lived with you, and I remember nothing about it either.
You didn't even mention it.
I played it for a couple hours, and my reaction was, I think I'm going to play something else.
Well, because they did that weird thing where it was like an offline Final Fantasy XI, where it was all real time and you're running
it
around.
That whole system just didn't work at all. The Gambit system, or whatever the fuck they called it. Didn't get it. I didn't get the appeal behind it at all.
I guess the art style I kind of liked, because I think they had taken the character designer from, what was it, Vagrant Story?
Yeah.
And his approach to characters at least felt different. It wasn't like a really obvious Nomura kind of thing where everybody looks like a J-pop or J-rock.
Some visual K artist.
Yeah, so they actually look different. So I appreciated that. But in terms of the overall feel of the game, it just didn't pop for me. So that was a little disappointing. And then 13 pissed everyone off, as we mentioned before, because the start was so slow. You have like 20 hours in before it gets fun. You know, like, wow, that's not something to brag about.
Jesus Christ.
And no one talks about 9.
Which is 9?
9's amazing.
I actually know a lot of people that like 9.
Dude, nine's prime. But seven through even I can admit I don't like Final Fantasy, but 7 through 9 were ace games.
Yeah.
But nine, I've always enjoyed 9 a lot myself.
I think 9 had the disadvantage of coming right after 7 and 8, which had been progressively getting like more, I wouldn't necessarily say realistic, but more, I guess, in that tone at least.
Yeah,
I
know.
They were hitting more of a Nomura tone than they were than the what the fuck is his name? The guy before. That's terrible. I don't know the character designer before 7. Shit.
Oh, Asano?
I know it. Yeah, it was Asano. That's it. Thank you. It was Asano that did the designs before Nomura.
Well, he's still, like, I think it's just for the hell of it, but he still usually does, like, the initial, like, the concept stuff, like the title screen kind of drawings. Yes. Yeah. Is it Asano?
I think it's no, it doesn't matter. We'll figure it out.
Asano don't know.
Asano?
Why are we doing this now? We should have done this before.
Yeah, well, it just shows how like out of touch I've become with the.
Well, to be fair, Squeenix doesn't deserve.
Yeah.
Man, what else was there?
So okay, but 9 kind of harkened back to, you know, 6 and older, like those games. Yeah. And I think a lot of people appreciated that, but a lot of the people that had just joined up with the series from 7 onwards were like, what the hell is this? You know?
Fuck them.
Yeah, 7 and 8 are kind of the Ocarina of Time of
I think that 8's much more the Majora's Mask.
Yeah, 8, that's very true.
8 is the Majora's Mask, 7 is the Ocarina of Time.
That is definitely the Ocarina of
Time. Oh, Amano, fucking Yoshitaka.
Amano, that's it. Yoshitaka Amano, thank you. You said
Asano, Amano.
Yeah, close
potato, enough. Potato.
Fucking Japanese things.
But yeah, no, so Asano, I think for every game still does like the title art, you know, the big people behind the Final Fantasy thing. Yeah. But it's not the same kind of position as it used to be, where you used to seem to have more of a controlling effect on the...
Yeah, when there was a good number of belts.
Well, but see, he was on the other side of the spectrum, though. So it's like, he wouldn't necessarily do belts and stuff, but he did, like, wispy, feathery bullshit, where it's like, you'd have a guy that looks like he has, like, 9 feet long hair, or like, feathery, poofy outfits that look kind of goofy. You know, in practice, it looks goofy, but because it was really pixelated, you wouldn't really see that in the game, so it was kind of okay, I guess. But I can appreciate his fantastic quality, but I think in terms of game design, it gets a little problematic because it's so weirdly detailed. Like, for a game now, like, he could do game design for a PS4 game or something, but that means it would look really close to what his actual design looks like, and
yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be really fucking cool.
Maybe.
Certainly be better than fucking Nomura.
Well, yeah.
I'm sick of that guy.
Nomura is, like, totally in a rut now, where everything looks like all the characters kind of look like they're distantly related to each other.
Have you seen the movie called? It's a movie called The Great Comforts, or the Great Comfort Space, I think. It's this movie about like Japanese male prostitutes.
Mm.
You know, and they look like fucking Nomura characters. You know, they all have that wispy hair. They all have that wispy hair.
It's very popular.
And it's just like, why? I mean, is this like? It's all he does. You know, I wouldn't get so mad if that wasn't all he does, but you see it in Kingdom Hearts. You've seen it in every Final Fantasy since 10, you know, except for the one designed by the guy who did Vagrant Story.
Well, the other problem, too, is, like, he's kind of spurred on because people, a lot of the fans still seem to really like that.
Is that shit popular in Japan?
I think it is.
I mean, I see that. But I mean, it's like, you know, all I see is, like, in J-pop, it doesn't seem like the sort of audience that would be playing a video game. You know, in Japan, it's not so much of a mainstream activity as it used to be back during the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, it seems like the same rut that, like, anime's fallen into. It's like, it's just the same old shit over and over again, you know, with better visuals.
Pretty much. But that's the thing. Until that look becomes unpopular, I think he's just going to keep doing at least some version of it, probably. Like, Kingdom Hearts 3, all the stuff they've shown looks just like a nicer polygon version of, you know, the previous. Like, they really aren't pushing it too far. Did you see, it was fake, but somebody photoshopped this little, like, Michael Cera style mustache on Sora in one thing. Like, very, very, very faint. So at first, they trolled everybody because they made it seem like if you looked really close at the character model, like the detail was so good that you'd see like a faint semblance of like a mustache because he was getting older. But it looked terrible because it's like, you know, like seeing Michael Cera with a mustache. It looks terrible. But somebody later debunked it and said, like, oh, no, someone just Photoshopped that. But that just goes to show that people are so sick of this similarity to the previous version, even though the Kingdom Hearts 2 came out in, what, like, 2002 or something like that? Like, a long time ago. That they're just kind of almost spoofing it now by saying, like, oh, well, Sora's got to be fucking old by now, but conveniently, he's still the same.
And I bring this up every time we mention Squeenix, but it's like fucking, what was it, Kingdom Hearts 358 divided by 2 or whatever the fuck?
Yeah, they made...
What was that that Casey used to play all the time? Knox? Was that Dissidia?
Yeah, that was Dissidia.
What the hell was that game?
So it
was
Dissidia is like their version of Smash Brothers or something, because it's all characters from Final Fantasy games, but mushed into one... It's kind of like if you took Smash Brothers but had it like a bigger field like Power Stone or something. Mm-hmm. So you have this huge arena to jump up boulders and run around and do all kinds of nonsense. But you're all kinds of Final Fantasy characters from the bad guys to the good guys. So it has the appeal if you, you know, liked a bunch of the games and wanted to play as like Kefka or something, you know.
That was the first one.
That was cool.
I just don't get why they only did it on the handhelds. Like, it probably could have sold really well if they even made, like, maybe they have by this point, since they love doing that, like an HD version for the consoles. It even had, yeah. What's-her-face, there's this cute little, like, evil, like, oh-ho-ho-ho kind of Taru character from Final Fantasy XI. That they even
you don't like Taru, do you?
They're kind of dicks. It's kind of funny because it's like the people that play them often are kind of a little smarmy or egotistical.
Like the same sort of person who would play a gnome in WoW.
Maybe, yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Gnomes and Taru-Tarus. I mean, Taru-Tarus are obviously a lot cuter than gnomes, but... Ugh. Anyway, so Square desperately needs some kind of ace up their sleeve this upcoming year. I don't know if that's going to happen. It's not going to die. They still have just enough of their fan base that at least for this next year, they're probably going to be okay. Plus, they are like doing little dribs and drabs of Kingdom Hearts leaks. So it's going to keep people just holding on just long enough, because most people are at least somewhat attached to Kingdom Hearts still. So if you offer an official console sequel of that game, they're going to be like, well, all right, I kind of want to find out where the story's all gone. Right.
I'm going to buy this, even though it's probably going to suck.
Yeah, Battlefield 3, you know.
Yeah.
Battlefield 4's got to be awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, Call of Duty, but it's nothing like the other Call of Duty that just came out a year ago.
I would drop money down on that bet.
Yeah, man. I mean, I would drop $60 on that shit, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, though, like, obviously I'm kind of biased, but if you were talking, if you're directly comparing Battlefield and Call of Duty, Battlefield 3 to 4... I don't even know. I mean, aside from some nicer lighting effects and stuff, there pretty much is no difference. You have better, slightly better facial animation, I noticed, in the cutscenes and that sort of thing. But they didn't really push very hard to make a big jump in terms of their innovation.
Oh, I can tell you why, because DICE is directing all the resources to make Mirror's Edge 2. Oh, yeah.
Is that really what they're doing, though?
No, I wish it was. I really wish it was.
I'm afraid because they have... one of their divisions, I guess, is working on Battlefront. So that makes me nervous because I really wanted another Star Wars first-person game.
What are the implications of Disney axing the EU have for video games?
Well, I mean, Disney not directly making video games doesn't... Star Wars games doesn't bother me just because... They usually don't make great games anyway, so actually, if they don't work on them, that's probably a good thing, right?
Well, yeah, World of Illusion, that was, what, like 25 years ago?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, when was the last really amazing Disney game?
World of Illusion, probably.
Or Aladdin, actually, on the Genesis.
Yeah, game. Yeah, you're right.
Oh my gosh, Aladdin on the Genesis.
Yes. But also, that wasn't directly them. That was, I think, was that Shiny Entertainment? I can't remember.
Wasn't that Psygnosis or whatever that company was called?
Yeah, it was a different developer, at least. But... them handing it over, I thought at least, okay, they would own all the Disney games, but at the time, I thought LucasArts was going to, you know, maybe have like a second renaissance and finally, you know, pick up on all this and make good games. And then they got axed. And now that they've shoved everything over to EA, that makes me nervous because EA clearly doesn't seem to understand
anything. They don't understand anything.
Yeah, it's just God.
I mean, look, Iggy's at a loss for words. She's like, I have no idea what to say.
Well, I'm just afraid because it's like there's so many potential good games or good concepts. Like, how long has it been since we had an X-Wing TIE Fighter game?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
They make one of those.
We have definitely talked about this before.
Yeah, yeah.
We definitely talked about this.
I'm still on that boat.
Still waiting.
I am just like, I'm ready for it.
But they, last E3, they teased, like really teased, because it didn't have anything substantial. They teased Battlefront with footage that was not like game footage. It was just like some stupid cinematic shit. And then somebody leaked what was the earlier version of Battlefront before I think it got shoved over to EA. And it looked great. Like, you were on speeder bikes, and there's stormtroopers, and chicken walkers, and all this shit. And I was like, yes, give me this game. But now I have to wonder, like, was that all trashed? Are they going to keep going from that and continue on and expand on that? Or, like, what the fuck's going to happen? So this year, one of my hopes is to see some kind of progression or further information about that game. Because some dumb part of me is still hoping that's going to be a good game. I don't know why.
What other fuck-ups were there this year?
Well, I will say for EA... and it's
Aliens.
Not, oh, God. The Colonial Marines?
Yeah, Colonial Marines.
Speaking of aliens.
This is the biggest fuck-up of the year. And I'm just going to say this once. Fez for the PC. Or as Phil Fish liked to call it, the spreadsheet machine.
What, did you play it on PC?
You fucking... What the fuck would I waste my money?
I don't know why you... We've already
why
talked...
Why am I mentioning it? No, because that's the biggest fuck-up. They released Fez on the PC this year. That's all I'm going to say. What were you going to say about Colonial Marines?
Okay, so Colonial Marines obviously was a huge stinker. However, I heard that recently there was an article about another Aliens game, not done by these guys, different guys, but one that is specifically trying to capture more of the feeling from, like, I guess maybe you could compare it more to the first Alien game movie, where it's more about being freaked out and feeling powerless and that kind of thing. Sort of like, I don't know what you would call it, like Amnesia, but in space or something like that. So they clearly want to distance themselves from the like, run-and-gun kind of feel that Colonial Marines had. So it could be promising. It's way too early to tell right now. They just released some, I don't even know if it's alpha footage. There was like some demo footage that IGN was talking about, and they showed like a very brief blip of like, you know, somebody in a space corridor kind of looking around with a flashlight, which, you know, there's not much to see right now.
Ooh, that's never been done before.
I know. But from the way they describe it, at least, it sounds like they're trying to go in a different direction. Like, maybe one that's more appropriate, where you actually have aliens that you are legitimately, like, afraid of that could kill you really easily. So I guess we'll have to see. That's a maybe on my list, because the Colonial Marines is pretty disappointing.
Keep an eyeball out for that.
Pretty disappointing. It's not like a total failure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, somebody still likes it somewhere, I'm sure.
Somebody.
There in this world. There is
sure
conference.
Wasn't me. Yeah.
What was your game of the year, Iggy?
Oh, God.
Have you thought about it? We had these 2 weeks off. We still haven't thought about this.
It's tough, though, because there were a lot of really strong games in different categories that I experienced. Like, I can't remember. Was Walking Dead actually the previous year? Was it technically?
I think it was at the end of last year, wasn't it?
Hmm.
Well, they started the new one.
Yeah, because I wanted to mention the new one. I played the first episode, and it's pretty promising so far. Like, I was worried it was going to lose something, but I'm already getting that feeling like, I want to know what happens next, goddammit. So they're still doing pretty well, and A Wolf Among Us, the Fables game, is pretty good so far. But, man, they take a long time in between episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's for quality purposes, fine. But for whatever reason, I feel like for the first season of Walking Dead, it didn't seem like it took as long. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. It just
you were younger then.
I was so young. But yeah, this past, I don't know. That's really tough. By default, I would say The Last of Us, just because as an entire package.
Oh, I'm surprised.
I was like, oh my god. Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Wait, is that sarcasm?
No, I'm honestly surprised that you're saying that before BioShock.
Well, BioShock, it was a great mind fuck and all that sort of thing, but there was something about, I mean, if we're ignoring I still don't want to spoil it because
it's been almost a year.
I know. Okay, so 10 months. The twist was great. Voice acting, great. Overall experience, great. I'm not saying BioShock doesn't deserve like the accolades that it's gotten, but if I had to put that up directly against The Last of Us, it's very difficult because The Last of Us has this crazy kind of overall tone that feels like incredibly realistic, and yet, you know, just fantasy enough where you're not like instantly buying survival gear after you finish the game, because you're paranoid about, you know, the apocalypse. but there's something, both of them, I was left with a lot of lingering feelings, but it feels like The Last of Us did that for longer. And it actually had, I mean, okay, the end of Infinite is kind of confusing on a couple of different levels, but you generally got it, and you're like, oh, okay. But The Last of Us...
The DLC made it worse.
Yeah, well, I'm totally ignoring the DLC for the purposes of this discussion. But The Last of Us was more or less kind of obvious. However, there were a lot of subtleties in how different characters kind of associated with each other, like how, like, one person... I don't want to spoil, but there's something critical that somebody does... And it's the acting is so good that you're like, like you're trying to think, what really is happening between these two characters? Like, is it whatever you're seeing on the surface, or is there something more? And I think because a lot of those subtleties, I kind of have to raise that above BioShock Infinite. Plus, I don't know, I gotta give The Last of Us more credit for some of its gameplay, because it's doing some Uncharted-esque kind of gameplay maneuvers, but it feels like they made a more creative jump with a lot of their stuff than Infinite did. Like, Infinite's still building on the existing BioShock kind of gameplay, and you're like, okay, I get it, tonics, right? Tonics are just plasmids, and you know, a lot of the overall gameplay didn't really change too much. I mean, they fixed a lot of issues, but there's still some remaining jankiness, you know, with some of the controls, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So as an overall package, I gotta give it to The Last of Us. But what were you guys yours?
Well, Nox, you can go first.
I am going to go with Rogue Legacy.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
Whoa! Action. Of course, you have to keep in mind, I have a pretty damn limited, you know, experience with games over the past year or so, at least new releases, mostly because my PC's crap and I don't have any consoles. But Rogue Legacy, I don't know. It combines a couple elements. You know, it's got that whole roguelite thing going on where, you know, the dungeons are randomly generated and all that jazz, but it's definitely designed for longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was definitely designed with, like, a, with you know, forethought was definitely going into the game, because the way the leveling up system is very, it's unique, because you use this manor and you get gold from smashing things in the castle, so it's got that whole aspect going to it. So there's a lot of unexpected depth from the game, because even if you beat the game, there's still this kind of underlying need to keep playing it. Like, you're wondering, what have I missed, you know? There are runes and armor and stuff like that that are still out there that you just haven't gotten yet. And one of my favorite things about the game, though, beyond that, and this is what really sold it for me, was the traits your character can have, because, you know,
I don't
know
if you know, but
the actual catch of the game is when you die, you choose an heir, and that heir will have some weird... It could be a dwarf or a giant. It can be farsighted, nearsighted, have tunnel vision.
And that will affect your gameplay.
Yeah, and Vertigo completely fucked with my head because it turns the fucking screen upside down, you know? And it's just so weird to play a game like that. And it just really creates a huge level of replayability in that even with the random generated dungeons, you know, and a lot of roguelikes, one of the things is even though it's randomly generated, it's still the same basic concept over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So by adding these traits, you know, there's just different types of challenges that tweaks the experience every time you play. So you can choose a mage, and even though you've played a mage a million times as your heir, the mage could suffer from, I don't know, irritable bowel syndrome or something like that. Just some weird-ass trait that, like, it's funny, it's simple, it's just playable as hell, and it definitely is one of those games that gets retro right. You know how there's that sort of... We discussed this before about how games are trying to go retro in an artsy sort of way where it looks choppy, even though games from that era had smooth graphics. They were just two-dimensional. And it definitely takes that more smooth approach to the graphics, which is something I prefer because I just think that kind of ugly pixelated approach is exactly that, an ugly pixelated approach.
Mm.
So I think it's retro done right, and I'm a big retro guy. So it was very easy for me to cling on to this game and just play it again and again and again.
Those are all good reasons. I know two people, actually, that played the game quite extensively for a period of time. And it was funny watching them play, too, because as you're saying, like, you get a lot of replayability with those weird powers or abilities or sometimes hindrances.
Yeah.
Like, it can really change up how either powerful your character is or how, like, handicapped you end up being. Even the randomization is funny. Like, sometimes you get, like, bearded dwarf women or whatever. Like
bearded dwarf women, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And there's also a lot of mini games inside there too. Like there's this clown cat that keeps popping up. So there's a lot of really weird humor involved. That's it's fun, and I've always enjoyed that about games. So that's my game of the year.
All right, so Colin, what's yours?
Okay, well, to be honest, I don't really feel comfortable picking any game.
Oh come
that
on!
I played this year. No, hold on, let me justify it.
Okay.
Well, number one is because I'm broke as fuck all the time. And the only game I could afford this year was Bioshock. Oh. And I just started recently playing GTA 5, which, while it's a good game, I haven't played through it. And from what I've seen, it's too railroaded, and it seems too similar to the previous GTA, which doesn't make it a bad game, but, you know, I wish they'd mix it up a little bit. I know they got a good formula going, but... You know, I'm just kind of bored playing with the same game with a few new mechanics, like a whole character switching thing. And I like the characters too, actually. Like Franklin's actually pretty fucking cool.
What about Trevor?
Trevor is just nuts. You know, he's just like a boring nutter. Michael's just kind of like a typical GTA sort of character.
Michael I find the most boring.
Yeah, Michael was pretty boring.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable picking Bioshock because while you said it, like it has good atmosphere. Good voice acting. The visuals are cool. The gameplay itself is a little eh. You know, it's just it's a shooter with a little bit of, you know, magic thrown in the form of tonics. And I don't really appreciate the fact that they really, like, it's, again, the railroading thing. I don't appreciate that being thrown into games where the first Bioshock, the second one too, but the first Bioshock especially was a lot more in that vein of System Shock, where it was like a lot more open world. And I mean, there were levels, but they were pretty wide open. You could just kind of go around them in not a very certain order, you know, kind of do your own thing. But the Infinite was a lot more, you know, go here and do this, and then go back and do this. And, you know, it was just too, what's the term, you know, too corridor sort of shooter. It's just, I don't like that. So while I like Bioshock Infinite, I picked the five games that I wish I would have played this year. You know, having no money, I didn't get to buy many games. And, you know, so I picked Ni No Kuni. Ni No Kuni, the Miyazaki sort of Ghibli collaboration thing. Antichamber, which looked fucking cool. My old roommate Kodak, the one who lives in Seattle, kept telling me to play this, and I never did. But it looked fucking cool, you know. It looked like Portal without all of the shitty gimmicks and all the shitty jokes, you know. And this next one actually won Ars Technica's Best Game of the Year. which was Papers, Please. And I think we mentioned this in the past a little bit.
Yeah, I think we talked about it for one episode, right?
Yeah, a few of my friends have played this, and it looks pretty phenomenal, actually. The Cave, which I think we mentioned. It was earlier, like it was the beginning of January.
Mm.
And we just mentioned the Stanley Parable. So those are the five games I wish I would have had the money to buy or have the PC to play. So it was disappointing for me this year.
Yeah, well,
slow year of video gaming for Colin.
That's all right. There's kind of a lot on the horizon for this year now. Yeah. So hopefully something will be good. So let's do really briefly before we end the show. What are you looking forward to most this upcoming year?
Oh God, start us out.
Huh?
Start us out. What are you looking most forward to?
She
needs to think about it too.
What did I have to think of?
I'll throw a title out there, and Colin, I'm sure you'll hop on this one right away.
Yeah.
Transistor.
Fucking A. I totally forgot about that. Yeah. I was just playing Bastion today. I started playing Bastion today with one of my friends because he had never.
I was playing it yesterday. That's what made me think of it.
Well, Knox, I know you had complaints about the controls, and you're playing it on the PC, right?
I kind of got the hang of it this time around.
I was going to say, it seems a lot more intuitive with a controller.
Yeah,
I don't know how it is with that, but
it's still a little touchy just because it's so really dependable on where your mouse is on the screen. So sometimes it's easy to forget where you're pointing, but I'm starting to get the hang of it. So
I fucking love that game. But Transistor looked really cool. You know, that alpha version they had looked very, very Bastion-esque. Like it looked actually pretty much exactly the same. So I'm hoping that it looks different or it ends up being some sort of a different gameplay mechanics. Because I really don't want to rehash a Bastion as much as I liked it. You know, that Supergiant has a really good, aesthetic, like their whole visual style and their music. And I don't know how they're going to pull off something new with a narration, because it's the best fucking part, was the narration. And everybody mentions that. Thief's coming out, isn't it?
I was almost going to say that one, but I'm not sure, when I watched the alpha demo, it felt very much like a more sophisticated Dishonored, which isn't a bad thing at all. That's actually very attractive to me. But I don't know if I would necessarily call it like my most desired thing for 2014. Yeah. It's kind of tough. I'd almost say, I mean, because there's a lot of strong games coming out, and I'm waiting for the Metal Gear games later in the year.
Who developed Deus Ex, a new one? Was it Eidos?
Yeah.
So it's the same. It's the same team from Deus Ex, right?
I think.
And it should be pretty fucking cool. I mean, I would think that they picked up an old franchise like Deus Ex and made it into something pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Human Revolution.
Oh come on, that was a great game.
It was a good game.
I love that game.
But they did a little bit of a bait and switch because I remember when it was initially presented in the trailers, especially that cinematic trailer. It made it feel like you were going to have a lot more freedom and kind of choice with the gameplay, and it ended up feeling very tunnel-y, okay, being led from here to here, and okay, once in a while you actually have a couple choices about the order in which you do something, but it felt a lot more controlled as a final product than I was expecting, so it was kind of a bit of a letdown.
Especially kind of funny.
The ending, too, what the fuck? Like, that's the laziest ending I've ever seen. Or endings, whatever.
Knox, what were you going to say?
I say it's kind of funny because you mentioned how, I mean, obviously the original Deus Ex had a lot more options involved. But, the guy I worked with at my last job, he didn't play many games up until, I don't know, a certain year. And it was pretty recently, I'd say. Let's just throw a number, 8 years or so. And he was just completely baffled at the amount of options he had in Human Revolution.
Really?
Yeah, I bet it was. And I thought, wow.
Wow, dude.
That says so much to me.
How young was he?
He wasn't much younger than me, which really blew my mind. He just didn't play many games as a kid, I guess, until he got to college. He had some roommate in college who liked games a lot.
There you go.
Probably like us chumps playing Halo.
But I'd almost say, there's a lot of games that are on the horizon that I'm looking forward to, but surprisingly, the thing that I'm the most curious about and that I'm going to be following this entire year, if it even comes out this year, is the Skywind mod for Skyrim.
Yeah, an Elder Scrolls remake.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard about this, okay, when I say mod, instantly people are going to be like, oh, who gives a shit? But this isn't a simple mod. And okay, they released just this past week the development trailer, which is funny because it totally looks like it was made in the style of one of those like Rockstar trailers where they get the kind of cool guy voice and he's talking about how they're going to be so sophisticated and they're doing all these things that no one's ever done. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Like they did that for Red Dead and GTA and all, whatever. So they... I'll post a link in the show notes, if I haven't already linked it in the Facebook group, I can't remember, where they're saying from the ground up, using this mod, they are going to make the entire game of Morrowind playable.
Nice.
Which is fucking insane.
It's really fucking cool.
It's really cool, though. And so their trailer is showing their process so far with making brand new weapons from scratch. Like, you know, you see it in Maya or whatever they're using. New character models and taking elements of, like, you know how they make the worlds in Skyrim and applying that to Morrowind, but it's not just cookie cutter, like taking stuff directly from Skyrim. They're actually making brand new, like,
new resources.
Yeah, like mountain faces and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just so it doesn't look like copy and paste, which is amazing.
Well, the environments in Morrowind and Skyrim are totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, just climate, you know, like in terms of climate.
Right. Yeah. So the other thing, too, is that they mentioned in the video that, of course, since this is a very ambitious mod, they're going to need help or they'll welcome help. So I kind of...
Do it.
No, I mean, not on that side, because that's too technical for me at the moment. I can't contribute that much time. However, something that everybody can do, well, anyone that likes voice acting, is they will be voicing all of the characters. So this is going to be just like Skyrim, where everyone's going to actually talk to you. However, there's a shitload of NPC characters. Yeah. So if you are so inclined, or if you're one of those aspiring voice actors, I'll post a link to the video, which I think in turn has a link to their forums.
I want
to
do that.
Yeah, so they have a huge thread with whatever's currently available to voice, along with this crazy big Excel sheet that has all the dialogue listed and all this stuff. So, that, you know, to make it as easy as possible for you to record the exact files that you would need. So I would recommend to anybody that's a huge fan of either Morrowind or Skyrim or Elder Scrolls in general that wants to contribute, that's probably the easiest way, I would think. They're a little strict with the format because, you know, they want good quality files for these characters. They don't want something that sounds like you hear a lot of background noise or whatever, but they do have like a tutorial video for like how to make the cleanest sound possible, and that may involve you getting a decent mic or a pop filter or something, because you want to make sure on your end to have it as clean of a voice recording as you possibly can, because that will be part of their determination of if they pick your voice or not. Because if your voice pops too much, or if it just kind of sucks, or whatever, it's not like a shoe-in for getting your voice as an NPC. So there's a bit of a process, but you can submit samples to them, and they'll say either, yeah, go for it, or no, you need to work on some things. Hmm. So, but that's cool. So I'm actually going to be voicing at least one female Redguard in the game, because you know my voice is low enough. I think it's appropriate. I was trying to realize.
You could pull off a Nord, I bet.
Yeah,
Nords sound pretty. I mean, Nords are supposed to be like the big, strong race, so they
and they also have like weird accents. Which, funnily enough, they're picking people that have like legitimate, like real accents for those. Because
were there many Nords in Morrowind? They're right next to each other.
There were some, for sure. Like, if I'm looking at this list right here, yeah, there's female Nords and male Nords. Now, there's certain categories that are already taken because they're obviously the most popular. For some reason, male Altmers, I think those are wood elves, are taken.
No, the Altmers are the
High Elves.
High Elves.
Those are all taken. Male Bosmers are already taken. All the male Khajiits are already taken.
Damn it! That's what I wanted to do.
For some reason, there's only 8 of them, but all the female orcs are taken, and almost all the male red guards are taken. I think there's only one slot left, which may be in contention right now. But there's still a lot of everything else, and there's a lot of characters.
Why don't you do the female Khajiits?
I don't know if there's...
Can you imitate a Roma accent?
Yeah, actually, only four of the female Khajiits are taken, so... I don't know. I don't want to do like a really retarded accent, but once I'm done with the Red Guard stuff, I may end up trying it out. But they're really cool about this. So not just voice acting. If you are doing any modeling, or if you know scripting, or anything regarding game development, you'll want to get in touch with them because they are probably going to be very appreciative of any help you can give, because that is a huge undertaking for them to do.
I just want to go to LA now to record my voice on your nice equipment.
You don't even have, you just buy, I use a, what's it called, a Blue Yeti mic.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of broke, like I just said.
Oh. Well, it doesn't even have to be a good quality mic, as long as it just sounds good. I mean, yeah. There's some cheaper ones, I don't know, maybe $50 or so, you could get a decent mic. And if you use, the biggest tip I could ever give is, if you have the sound program Audacity, it's free. So yeah. That's the most
worst. I've used it before. It's just that the Macintosh version is shoddy and crappy.
Well, there is, it automatically helps my recordings, but there is a filter that's a noise removal filter. So what you do is you record just any of your ambient room noise, like without you talking, as a separate file. And then you tell that, like, that is the noise. So that whenever you record any audio, you can do the noise removal filter, and it will just get rid of that spectrum, I guess, of noise. So it makes everything just instantly sound so much better, because you don't let that's it have cool. That, like,
yeah. Noise
in the background, which is really annoying. But yeah, anyway, so long story short, it's a very worthwhile project. I'll post a link to the trailer, which got me really excited. And if you can help in any way, I suggest you do it, because otherwise it's probably going to take them like 7 years to come out with this mod. But it looks like they're doing quality work, so that's really cool.
Hope they sees the light of day.
I think it will. They seem determined enough. Like, I hope this doesn't turn into another Black Mesa.
Yeah, I was going to say it doesn't turn into that new Half-Life.
Like, Black Mesa actually ended up being really cool, but then I got so pissed when I found out from playing it that it's not the entirety of the game. It stops, like, right before Zen. So I was like, what the fuck?
Well, Zen would be hard to model all that shit.
I guess, yeah. But it's like, it feels like it's so close to the end, you know? Like,
it's only like 3 or 4 levels on Zen.
Right, it's not very long. Anyway, but yeah, so that might be, at least right now, my pick for... potentially for 2014, because out of all the things I've seen so far, that is the most unusual and worthy of attention, I think.
It's Morrowind. Yeah. I think that, you know, people agree it's probably the best Elder Scrolls game.
Well, that's the thing. So yeah. It makes sense that somebody, even if it's not Bethesda, tries to do a little justice and upscales it so that more people can enjoy it. Because I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that will fully admit, they're like, yeah, I'm probably not going to
play. It's too aged.
It looks too old. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to play a game past, like, the year 2000 or something, because it probably looks too pixely for me, or there's no voice acting, or whatever excuse they always use.
Yeah. No voice acting, who cares about that? Oh, yes. Elder Scrolls Online comes out too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I hope it doesn't suck.
Well,
if they fuck up the lore, I'm going to be so pissed at Bethesda.
I have an NDA, so I can't say anything.
Oh, you've been playing it?
Yeah.
Can you say if it's good?
Well, I mean, if you like Elder Scrolls, you're going to find stuff to like. That seems to be a given, right?
Well, and did they fuck up the combat? Because Elder Scrolls has a distinctive style of gameplay. Did they fuck it up? Can you say that?
It's different. I'll just say it's different.
When's the NDA end?
Probably when it comes out.
God, I gotta wait until April.
Well, I'm assuming at some point, especially since it's an MMO, there's going to be like an open beta. At which point it's, fair game.
Then you can start talking about it.
Exactly. So
once I hear your impressions.
I'll say a lot.
Yeah.
Until then, I can't. But anyway, so I think that should probably do it for this week for us. Adam couldn't be here, but he hopefully will be here next week.
He's a chump.
No, he has work. So he has good excuses. Yes. So anyway, we'll see you guys next week. In the meantime, if you would like to talk about anything you were excited for or disappointed about, we have an email, which is nameofgamepodcast@gmail.com. We have a Facebook group also that you can always post messages to, which is In the Name of Game. We have a Twitter, which I don't really recommend posting anything to us because I kind of have a hard time keeping up with it. But it's at In the Name of Game, and I always post links to the episodes. And we also have a website, which is inthenameofgame.com, where you can listen to this episode and any previous episode you want to. Oh, we're also on iTunes. If you don't care about any of that shit, we're on iTunes. Just subscribe to us and forget about everything else. But yeah, so in the meantime, happy late New Year to everybody. Hope you're...
2014 for everybody.
It's an election year.
Oh, yeah.
We get to vote for representatives. Yay.
Man.
I love that.
Anyway, but there's other things to look forward to.
Yeah, we'll call that one of the disappointments of 2014. Just calling it right now.
Yeah, impending impending doom, probably. Anyway, so we'll see you guys next week. Have a great time with your games, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Later. Bye. These are not known as mages, so Desirable has much to prove.
Okay, you gotta work on that a little bit.
It's my casual pitch.
The accent is good, but the tone is just very...
Well, the accent's a little bit...